I serve a risen Savior. Amen. How about you? He died, but he rose from the grave. Hebrews chapter 7 is where we're going to find our text today. We're learning about Melchizedek, king of Salem, and more importantly, how he pictures Christ, our Savior. And I want tonight, the scriptures are going to admonish us to consider how great this man was, and I hope we can do that tonight. Hebrews 7, let's pray together, and then we'll read the scriptures together tonight. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for Christ who died and rose from the grave, who conquered death and hell, who gives life to all who believe, forgiveness, and a place in your kingdom, in your family forever. I pray that anyone hearing this message tonight who's never been born again, Lord, that even now your work in their heart draw them to Jesus who was lifted up on the cross for their sins. Bring them to repentance and faith in Jesus to where they would trust in Christ with all their heart, call on your name and be saved. We pray for all who are saved that you'd help us to walk with you in obedience and just live out the gospel that has given us life. Thank you. Please bless your word tonight. Help me, for I'm nothing without you. And I pray that you'll help us to know you more, to know you in a greater way, in a deeper way from our time in the scriptures tonight, and that we'll be encouraged and equipped to go and make you known. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 7, verse 1. The word of God says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted of them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witness that he liveth. And as I may say, Levi also, who receiveth tithe, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him." All right, we're going to stop there. We're going to try to dig into these 10 verses tonight and learn a little bit more about this man, Melchizedek, considering how great a man he was, and then remembering that he's just a shadow of one much greater. In verses 1 through 3, we see that he is king and priest. We've learned about this. He says here that he is king of righteousness. That's by interpretation, because the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. That's what his name means. And so his name means king of righteousness. So when you understand the name Melchizedek, you understand he's king of righteousness. But he was also king of the city of Salem, which is king of peace. So king of righteousness and king of peace, that's who Melchizedek is. He is a sovereign. He is a ruler. He is the one who is in control of a group of people, of a place, of a city, of a state, and he is the ruler of that place, the sovereign. Then it says that he is the priest of the Most High God. We remember that a priest, you guys remember that we need to understand the difference between a prophet and a priest. A prophet is one who tells people about God. He's one who represents God to the people. A priest is someone who represents the people to God. Somebody to bring the sacrifices, to bring the prayers, to bring the petitions of the people to God. So as a priest, he was one who would receive the tithes to the glory of God. Okay? He would be the one who would receive the offerings as a representative of the people to God. Now this man, was the priest who received the tithes of Abraham, but you notice that the Bible says that he blessed Abraham. He's the one who gave the blessing to Abraham. And then he is so king of righteousness in Salem, king of righteousness and peace. He's the priest of the Most High God. He gave blessings to Abraham, and he received tithes of Abraham. Now, why is all this so important? Remember, Hebrews is written to the Jewish believers, and it's written to Jewish people who are considering leaving Judaism and coming to full faith in Christ. And the writer of Hebrews is telling them, listen, come all the way to faith in Christ. And so he's got to tear down some things. So he's been working through the letter to try to tell them, listen, Jesus, the Christ, is greater than angels because he made the angels. And he's greater than Moses, and he's greater than the law, and he's greater than the priest. Amen. Remember, think about it, how important the priests were to the people of Israel. You, from a small child, were taught that you could fold your hands and pray to God. You were taught as a small child that you had access to God through Jesus. But remember, they didn't grow up that way. The only way to get to God was to go through the priest. The only way that God could forgive you was if you went and took your sacrifices and the blood was shed and the priest took the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Only then could your sins be forgiven. And listen, you had to go to the priest in order to gain access to God. The priest was the one who had to go into the Holy of Holies to go into the place that represented the throne of God. You couldn't get there as a Jew on your own. You needed someone to go for you. Everybody with me? See, I don't think that we can begin to comprehend what a change it was when the veil was rent from top to bottom when Christ died and the way was open to God. The throne room was available. It was accessible to all who believe. Now you can come boldly to the throne of grace. Now you can come right into the throne room of God through Jesus. And we take it for granted. And so they had to understand that Jesus was greater than the priesthood. And he gave us, in the Old Testament, Psalm 110, he gave us this promise that Christ, the Messiah, would be after the order of Melchizedek. He would be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. There was a picture there, a type there, a shadow there to help us understand. So King of Righteousness, King of Peace, Priest of the Most High God. And he was the one who blessed Abraham. He received tithes of Abraham. Now there's some, verse 3, if you'll look at that, please. There's, like so many things, a lot of debate about this. I mentioned that, was that Sunday night? I tried to tell you guys that there was no debate about the watermelons and the salt. And, you know, I made a lot of mistakes up here. And people were more mad about that than anything I've said in 2 years. I would say there's a lot of debate. There's what I would consider a lot of confusion about verse 3. And verse 3 says, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. So there are a lot of people who believe that Melchizedek was actually an Old Testament Christophany or a theophany. Now, those are fancy words that mean this. There were times that God appeared in physical form in the Old Testament. That's a theophany. You can think of the burning bush. It was consumed, it was burning with fire, but it wasn't consumed. And God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. There was a physical representation of God there, and that was God. Take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground, right? Amen. Old Testament also had Christophanies. There were appearances of Christ in the Old Testament in physical form before he was born in Bethlehem. So Jesus has always been. He's always been. And there were times he would appear in a physical form in the Old Testament. So a lot of people, because it says that Melchizedek didn't have a father or a mother or beginning or ending of days, they believe that Melchizedek is a Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of Jesus. Now, I don't believe that that's the case. You can study it out. I want to tell you what I do believe. I believe what it's saying here is that he was out without record, without genealogy. And actually, in the original, there's some idea to that, that without father, without mother, without descent. In other words, Melchizedek, there's no record of who his parents were. There's no record of where he came from. He didn't have any kind of lineage, but he was made a high priest by God. Amen. And he's, remember, he's contrasting and comparing Melchizedek's priesthood to the Levitical priesthood. Remember, to be a priest in the Old Testament under the law, you had to be a descendant of Levi. Everybody remember that? Nobody gets to be a priest unless you're of the tribe of Levi. You had to be a descendant of Aaron in particular to be part of the priesthood. And so you had have that comparison. He didn't have the genealogy for it. God just made him so. So he didn't have the genealogy without father or mother, without descent. It wasn't something that carried on through his line. God made him special for that purpose. Notice also that he didn't have beginning of days or end of life. In other words, the priest under the Levitical law, you were only a priest for a certain amount of time. You had to reach a certain age before you could enter into the priesthood. And then when you got to a certain age, you had to leave the priesthood. There was a beginning and an ending to their priesthood. Melchizedek wasn't that way. God made him a priest, and he was a priest forever. Not that he was eternal, but that his priesthood was continual. It didn't have a beginning or an ending. I love that we're covering this tonight, because it was actually Brother Richard Crawford who taught me this. We were studying through Hebrews, and I remember we were having a pastor's Bible fellowship, Bible study, and we were going through this, and I remember him really helping me with this passage of Scripture and helping me to understand that that's what it was about. It was a picture. It's not that Melchizedek was Christ. It's that he was made to picture Christ. So you can study that out more all you want to, and maybe you'll come to a different conclusion, but here's what's clear to me. He was made, verse 3 says, made like unto the Son of God. He wasn't the Son of God, but he was made like unto. He was made to represent. The record that is given of him is to represent Jesus. He's what we would call a type, or a picture, or a shadow, the Scriptures might say. Something that the Old Testament gives us that is a representation of something true. Just like the elements that are in the tabernacle, remember those? You've got the altar and the brazen laver, and you've got the table of showbread, and you've got all the altar of incense, and the candlestick, and all the different things, the Ark of the Covenant. All of those pieces of furniture in the Old Testament were pictures or types of the true in heaven. Amen. Not the real thing, but a picture of it. And so Melchizedek acts in that same way, a picture or a type. Now, he was without descent, meaning that he wasn't of a lineage of priests without beginning or end. His priesthood was continual. It didn't start at a certain age and end at a certain age, but he was king and priest, and he was made like unto the Son of God. He was made as a image of, a picture of Jesus. Now look at verses 4 through 10. He was king and priest, and he was a receiver of tithes, and we're going to see why this is so important. Now consider how great this man was. The writer of Hebrews says, I want you to consider how great Melchizedek was. Why was he great? He was great because even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenths of the spoils to him. How great is Abraham? Listen, we're not Jews. We're not Hebrews. We didn't grow up under the law and under the old covenant. But all of us grew up understanding how great Abraham is. He's the father of the faith. He's the first one God called out and separated to bring in Messiah into the world. He's the one that was called by God, who believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The one that God said, in your seed will all nations of the earth be blessed. Abraham is the one God chose to usher in the Messiah. So even we understand how great he was. But here the writer of Hebrews says, how great is Melchizedek, that even Abraham was giving him tithes. This man was great. Even Abraham gave him tithes. Then notice in verse 5. Verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. So the Levitical priests take tithes by the law, but Melchizedek took tithes of Abraham. And then it says that he blessed Abraham. So they take The Levitical priesthood take tithes of the people who are descendants of Abraham, but Melchizedek took tithes of Abraham himself. The Levitical priests take tithes by the law. Melchizedek took tithes of the one who was before the law. And then Melchizedek blessed him. Verse 6 says, whose descent is not counted from them that received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Amen. Who blessed who? Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And always, 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 the less, the lesser, the lower, is blessed of the better or the greater. Every time. If you have a blessing in your life, who does it come from? Ultimately, it comes from God, doesn't it? Ultimately, it comes from God. One, and in our lives, physically maybe, if someone blesses you in some way, it's because they're able to. God's enabled them to. Your parents are able to provide for you because God has given them more provision than you have. If somebody is able to give to you, it's because God has given them more than you have. And so they have a greater amount. They're able to give to those who have a lesser amount. And without contradiction, the less is blessed by the better. Now, verse 8, here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. This again is another statement of the Levitical priesthood being limited by age. Melchizedek, as a type or picture of Christ, had an unlimited priesthood. It didn't stop. It was for his life, in his whole life. And then verse 9, as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. And he says this, even the Levitical priests that didn't exist yet, they were still represented in Abraham, not even born yet, not even come to life yet. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, down to Levi, they still were represented by Abraham when he gave tithes to Melchizedek. And so he's saying, you think the Levitical priests are so great, but I want to tell you, there was a priest who was greater than all of them. Consider how great this man Melchizedek was. And why is that important? Because of who he pictures. He was a king of righteousness, of peace, so that he could represent for us the king of righteousness. There is no righteousness apart from God. Amen. You don't know why there's so much wickedness and darkness and sin in the world today? Because we have rejected God and his truth. Because if there is any righteousness in the world at all, it comes from God. Amen. It comes from his truth. Amen. He is the king of what is right. Men want to write their own ways of righteousness. We read about it in the Old Testament, the book of Judges, that there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We have a phenomenon happening in America today where law is being disregarded. Laws that were established on the principles of the Word of God are being ignored. And what is happening? Well, people are doing what's right in their own eyes. There's chaos and there's wickedness and there's violence all over the place. Why? Because people are rejecting the King of Right. When we reject his righteousness, we also reject his peace. People say that they want peace in the world, while rejecting the King of Peace. There is no peace apart from Christ. Amen. There's no peace in your heart. There's no peace in the world. And there's certainly no peace with God. And so people live without peace. They have no peace within themselves. They have no peace in their families. They have no peace with others. There's no peace between nations because we've rejected the King of Peace. But when a nation will honor God, when a nation will make God their Lord, that nation will be blessed. So King of Righteousness and King of Salem pointing to Christ, the King of Peace who gives peace to all who believe. Not only that, he is the great high priest. We read about those Old Testament priests, that we read about them in the New Testament, the high priest. And by the time Jesus began his earthly ministry, The Jews had descended so far from biblical truth that they had made a mockery of the office of high priest. They had abandoned the Levitical lineages. They had done so many things to make a mockery of it. But I want you to get this. When you read about the great high priest, when you read about the high priest in the Old Testament and how lofty their position was, how important their job was, how critical it was for them to do everything right so that they could go and make atonement for the sin of the people year after year, how special that was. Amen. But Christ came once for all. Amen. To make a sacrifice for the sins of all people of all time. He came and offered himself, the great high priest. And he is greater. Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek because he recognized Melchizedek is greater than himself. And we give to Christ because we understand he is greater than all. Not just our tithes, but everything. We owe all to him who gave everything for us. He is greater. He's greater than Abraham, who gave the tithes. He's greater than Melchizedek, who received the blessing. He's greater than the Levitical priesthood. Amen. He's greater than all the things that God had established. And as he continues to teach us about Melchizedek, just mentioned a couple of times in the Old Testament, Genesis 14, Psalm 110, but then he gives us these paragraph after paragraph in Hebrews to help us understand more about him. Why? Because he was made as a type or a picture. And a picture is a great thing, isn't it? Picture is a beautiful thing. How many of you have ever seen some beautiful pictures of the mountains? Now, how many of you have ever been to the mountains? Which would you rather have? The picture? Or the real thing? How many of you have ever seen a picture of the ocean? Oh, come on, play along, kids. I know it takes a lot of effort to put your hand up. Get the person next to you to help you. You ever seen a picture of the ocean? Now, how many of you ever been in the ocean? Which would you rather have? Some of you are like, let's go right now. The school year can't be over fast enough. Let's get to the ocean. You see, I love to look at pictures of mountains, but I'd much rather be standing on the mountain. Amen. Amen. I mean, there's something about it. There's something about it. These days, you know, it's different now. But now, I mean, you can look at a picture. You can look at a satellite image. You can zoom in on Google Earth and see all these different places you might want to go. But it's altogether different. You look at it online, and then you go there. Amen. A couple of years ago, we got to go to the Northwest. We got to go to Mount St. Helens. I'd seen pictures and videos of Mount St. Helens my whole life, but it was different. And we drove to it, and we drove up on it, and we walked around and looked at it. It's different when you're there. We go up on Mount Rainier, and we get to, it's of course cloudy because it's, you know, the Pacific Northwest, it's always cloudy, but it's just beautiful. When you're standing there and you see the mountains and you see the trees and you see the clouds and you see the sky and you feel the wind, it's different. It's real. When you see pictures of the ocean, and some of you are dreaming of going to the ocean right now, and it's great to look at it, but it's different when you walk out into the ocean and you're in it and you feel it moving around you and you experience it. You see, I want you to see the picture of Melchizedek. I want you to understand who he is and who he was and all the different ways that we can begin to understand how he pictured Christ. But it's not about Melchizedek. It's about Jesus. And it's great to see the picture, but to know him. Amen. To stand in him, to feel his presence, to be filled with his spirit, to immerse yourself in the knowledge of Christ, to know him. And to be alive in him and to walk in him is entirely different. Entirely different. We have these pictures, we have these shadows, we have these types, but they do us no good if they don't bring us to faith in the true great high priest, the one who was made after the order of Melchizedek a priest forever, the one true high priest, the only one. God's written these things for us so that we could come to know him and have a relationship with him that's real. Just a real quick quiz before we finish up. Any of you ever written a love letter? Anybody ever written a love letter? Put your hand up, Dean. I know you have. Yeah, there you go. Trina's probably got some love letters in a shoebox. A song? Amen. Wow, his face is getting red. Next Valentine's Day, maybe you could sing it for all of us. Okay. Some of you have written some love letters. Anybody ever receive a love letter? Ready to get one? Tell me about that later. Not sure what's going on over there. Melissa and I dated for a couple of years before we got married. One or two or ten, I don't know. It was a while. Some of y'all remember. Bill Dawn still likes to tease me. You can ask him about it later. He'll be glad to tell you. To no surprise to most of you, I really wanted that girl to marry me. And we wrote each other, but she was really good about writing me sweet notes. I still got them somewhere. I used to read those, and I used to think about what it'd be like to actually, like, be together, to be married. Like, I look at young people who are that age now and single, and, like, I feel so bad for you. Marriage is a beautiful thing. But I remember reading those, and I remember thinking about it and dreaming about it, and, you know, just to be married, to be together, to be able to live together, to be able to stay together and not have to leave, to not have to drive home late at night. You could just stay. To not have to just talk on the phone and try to stay awake, but, you know, to be together. I think about that with these scriptures. I think about how God's given us these types and shadows, and we can read about it, and it's great to think about it, but it doesn't just have to be a dream. It doesn't have to be a picture or a shadow or just something far off. It can be real now. Amen. He wants to make you his now. Amen. You can trust in him and be with him forever now. That relationship doesn't have to be something dreamed about. It can be experienced. Every moment of every day, if you're willing to turn from your sin and put your faith in Christ. Not a picture, not a type, not a shadow, but the real thing. A real living relationship with God himself through faith in Christ. Will you stand with me tonight? The truth is, I can't look into anybody's heart. I pray that your relationship with Christ is real. I pray that you've genuinely been born again by trusting in Jesus. I pray that your relationship with him isn't just something superficial or something outward, but that you really know him. I pray that your relationship with him is deep and grows deeper day by day. And if it's not, it can. You can know him. You can experience him personally in a living way every day. Amen. Through prayer, through his word, by his spirit. If you don't know him, I pray you'll trust in him tonight. If you do know him, but your relationship with him isn't vibrant, it isn't real, it's more like shadows, that by the grace of God, your walk with Christ will be more real now than it ever has been before, and it'll just grow deeper. Peace convicting your heart. You come while we sing.